Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have the pleasure of having Dr. Kathy Gruber. She is an author of the Alternative Medicine Cabinet. If you'd like to speak with her, you can give us a call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or post a question in the chat room, and I'll read it on the air. Well, welcome to the program, Dr. Gruber.
Thanks, Tim. I'm very happy to be here. How are you today?
Great. I'm fine and dandy.
Good.
I guess to begin with, our audience really like to hear personal stories from the author themselves versus reading a long bio. So if you don't mind, kind of tell us about yourself, where you're from, and how did you guys start it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I grew up in Pittsburgh. Go Steelers.
I got to
throw that in. Diehard Steeler fan. So I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I was always interested in not only alternative medicine, but also theater. I started acting when I was in fifth grade, but I also started doing massage at a really young age. I would sit behind my dad on long car trips, and I would rub his neck so he didn't get headaches. And in high school, I was the one everyone would plop down in front of me and kind of point and go, can you just push on this? You're really good at it. I always had an inclination for it, which I never really thought anything of. I just thought, that's what you did. And when I was probably about 14, my mom was diagnosed with cancer and got very, very sick. And she died when I was 18 years old. And I have so many people that equate, well, you watched your mom get sick and die. Of course you're, into healthcare and healing now. And I said, I guess it makes sense. But I think what it was more is I watched my dad be such an incredible caregiver. I was an only child, and I was just still a teenager at that point. So, I could only do so much. But I watched him really, really, take the care. He was changing IVs. He was changing bandages. He was just truly, at that point, just such an angel to her. And I think on some level I observed that and thought, and that really affected, how I now behave later as an adult. I was a theater major back in Pittsburgh. And about halfway through my theater major career, a woman showed up to our theater one day and started doing body work on people. And she brought herbs and she brought teas and she was doing all this incredible work. She never charged us a cent. She would just show up and work on the actors for free. And I began to apprentice with her. I would sit there and watch. And finally, one day she turned to me and she said, Kathy, I'm really busy and I'm so backed up and there's so many people waiting. Can you take those mats into the other room and go work on Jim? And I looked at her and I said, no. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, I'm just sitting here watching you. And she looked very deeply in my eyes and said, yes, you do. And I went, okay. And so I took the mats and I went and worked on this kid. And I ended up doing this with her for about 3 years. Moved out to California, studied massage more formally, realized that just wasn't enough for me. So I kept pursuing higher degrees. I have my doctorate as a traditional naturopath. I have my master's and PhD in natural health, and a couple years back I started writing magazine articles because I wanted to reach more people and promote my local business, and I had always had a passion for writing. So the articles started to become really successful. I started doing them for national and international magazines, and then I wrote a book, and I did a massage DVD, and moving now into the present, I just won an entrepreneurship award for my business here in Santa Barbara, and I started filming my Thanks. It was very exciting. And I just started pre-production for my own national TV show out of LA. So it's become that perfect combination of the acting and the healing. And I always wondered where all that acting went, and now I'm working on a TV show and I went, oh, there it is. I got it. So,
you went the roundabout way, but it was carving you to be where you are.
Exactly. I thought I was going to be, the wacky neighbor on a sitcom. Little did I know I was going to host my own health show. But, hey, either way, I'll take it,
Wow. You could have been a Desperate Housewives, You never know.
Oh, don't put me on that. At least give me Friends or Seinfeld or something.
I was forced to watch it, actually.
Okay, that's fine. I'll welcome you to that.
The beginning, when it first started, I said, my God, I've been getting out of it, but I saw the first episode. And Lord, I had to sit there for 2 hours to see the last. But it was fine. It was fine. I endured it. Tell us about natural health. I guess we're going back to where we used to be in society. going to organic, going things are natural. For billions of years, we lived this way until the modern, probably the last 150 years, everything has to be treated with a medicine. And ironically, my grandmother used to be an American Indian, and great-grandma used to be a great American Indian, and she cultured everything out of her yard, all different herbs and things, and give it to you. Yeah, if you have a headache, we give you this. Give have arthritis and gout, we give you this. You have a stomach ache, we give you this. Everything was all natural, no medicine whatsoever. Is it, you know, we look at this in the 70s and the 60s, and all of a sudden in the 80s we went to the medical world, and all of a sudden we turn back around. What's causing us to, all of a sudden within a nation and with all the strength of the drug companies behind us, what has given us this pushback to go back to all natural again?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think it's a combination of everything you just said. I think what we can blame for this advent of, you know, a drug for every, a pill for every ill, is we started to be able to isolate compounds. The majority of pharmaceuticals we have actually come from natural plants. So they were smart enough to observe, hey, you know, if you take this, it causes this in the body. Well, huh, I wonder what part of the plant is doing that. So the chemists and the biophysicists would go in and they'd rip apart the plant and they'd go, oh, here's the, quote, active ingredient. They would isolate that active ingredient, give it to you in a pill. It would solve the problem, but typically it would have a huge amount of side effects because in its and that's a problem. In its plant form, all those things that they deemed inactive or not useful, we believe was probably taking care of those side effects. You know, that's like taking just the yolk out of an egg and saying, here's your egg. You're like, okay, but where's the rest of it? You know, I want the whole egg. So that's where the problems began. But what they realized is if they give you a pill and it caused all these other side effects, then they can give you more pills. And you're not allowed to, except Monsanto apparently, you're not allowed to license natural things. So you can't, you know, pull a plant out of your garden that's comfrey and say, I'm gonna patent comfrey. You can't. It's available everywhere. So the only way they could make any money from these was, again, to isolate the compounds, call them some exotic name, and put them in a pill. And people began to realize that those strong, powerful, isolated compounds worked so much quicker on their headache, on their pain, on their heart arrhythmia, on their whatever it was. And so we as a society started to ask for it. I mean, I have people walk in my office I still do a lot of medical massage. They walk in my office and say, you know, my neck's been bothering me for 30 years. You're going to fix it today, right? Well, geez, if I could do that, one, I'd work myself out of business, and two, people would be aligned around the block because I'd be, you know, some sort of faith healer at that point. We've been conditioned that we want it quick with MTV, with the microwave, with the computer, with the – I mean, we want things so fast, and we want that immediate result. Exactly, absolutely now. Yeah. And natural medicine is a process, and it works best as a preventative. You know, I've had people show up who have had, you know, 6 or 7 back surgeries. They're hooked on pain meds. Their bodies have been just biologically brutalized from all the procedures and all the surgeries, and they wonder why I can't help them. I could have helped them maybe before the 7 surgeries and all the shots and the interventions. And it's best to start. This is where it's best to start with natural medicine, because once you've messed with the body, it's really hard to bring it back to its natural state. You know, it's like putting a bunch of special features on your car, you know, speakers and rims and all these extra, and then trying to get it back to its original state. You've got to undo so much stuff. It's so much harder to do that. But I think people are now becoming completely disenchanted with the big business of pharmaceuticals, the big business of medicine and the insurance companies and how that's working. I have had so many people turn to me and say, I'm done. I don't trust it anymore. I'm tired of being handed off to some specialist who looks at the one thing he knows. I'm tired of waiting 2 hours to see my doctor to get 7 minutes to get interrupted in the first 45 seconds. We're done. They don't want that anymore. And that's exciting for me. And I know doctors are also frustrated with us. So many are just, they're not able to do what they went to school for, which is help people heal. They become drug pushers. And I know that frustrates so many of them, so I don't ever mean to disparage doctors. They're some of just phenomenal people. But we're wanting to go back to that simpler time where it might take a little bit longer for your healing, but it's healing. It's truly making a change in the body so that it can get back to its natural state. It's not piling medication on top of a symptom and hoping it helps without too many side effects. Oh, but if it does, we'll just give you another pill. People are just tired of it. They're just tired of of feeling cheated in their own health care, and they want to take control back, and that's one of the things I want to help them do.
Absolutely. And one of the scary things I think we've seen within the past 15 years is one thing that the pill will help you, but when you hear the side effects, when they go a little bit faster when they start, you're talking about nosebleeds, you might cause this, it might cause a stroke, it might cause a heart attack. That's a scary pill. I wouldn't want to take a pill that is going to kind of give me something completely in a worse condition than I'm in right now, unless I'm just right at the door of death and, you know, whatever option you have left. But a lot of these things they say, these ads are just really, really scary when it comes to a stroke or heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll could paralyze you. Those things are scary. And
yeah.
I just don't see how some people can, you know, unless they really, really have to. But it's like someone mentioned, when you become, if you're a diabetic, it's easier to just control your diet and go that route than versus start on insulin and then you're stuck with it unless
right.
you can really get yourself back healthy again and back in control. In your particular profession, I mean, you have studied over the course of the years and seen all types of things. In pursuit of yoga and massaging, how does that play a part of this alternative medicine? Is it brings about more circulation, or kind of tell us the science behind that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They've actually started doing a lot of research on exactly what massage does. I mean, we've known it feels good. We know it's relaxing. It reduces stress. It looks like, from what we can tell, it relaxes the body in such a way that it slows the brain waves down, so it gives us that euphoric sort of state. It relaxes
mm-hmm.
the muscles. It's really great for injuries, you know, pre or post maybe athletic competitions. It increases circulation, which increases healing. Moves lymph through the body, which helps get the toxins out, and we are just so, there's just so many toxins around us right now, so moving all that stuff out is a good thing. It's great for stuff like TMJ and whiplash, and, you know, so many people head to their orthopedic first, and it's like, you know, unless you seriously just blew out a disc and can't get off the floor, please come to someone like myself first, someone who really knows what they're doing with massage, not the local, shopping mart kind of quickie, cheap massage place. Oftentimes they really don't know what they're doing. They'll relax you and that's kind of it. I do expert witness work on court cases, and I've seen a bunch of injuries come through recently of people going to therapists that take on too much. They don't know what they're doing. Massage is great for infants. They did a study recently looking at preterm, so basically preemie babies, and it showed massage helped them develop quicker once they were born. So, I mean, it's just massage. They're finding out more and more about what it does. And it's also, it's acceptable. It's not scary to people. They've heard of massage. You've seen it on TV. You know what it is. That's a
mm-hmm.
great introduction for people who want to get more alternative and want to take more... Excuse me. Want to take a more alternative route but don't know where to start, massage is a non-scary place to do that. Because once you start doing massage, then maybe that leads to acupuncture, which might lead to homeopathics or herbs, that sort of thing. So it's a great kind of, it's a good gateway therapy. They talk about gateway drugs. It's a good gateway therapy into changing your life into a more natural thing. And if you do monthly massage or weekly massage, it's really great maintenance for your body.
Tell us what goes on when in your practice when you actually do a massage.
Mm-hmm.
And what can they really expect?
Well, for me, and I if people want to talk, I talk with them. So many people want to talk on my table, and others just want to lay there and conk out. Oftentimes what I'll do is I don't have an intake form per se, but I will definitely sit down the person if they're new, find out if they have any injuries, if they have any surgeries, because I would want to avoid those areas. You know, if someone has just that recent shoulder surgery, I don't want to go pulling their arm up over their head or doing something, you know, if they just stubbed their toe, I don't want to grab their foot. So if you're going for a massage, it's really important to communicate that sort of thing. If you have an injury or something you don't like, please, please make sure you tell the therapist. Or if there's something like, you know, if you want to be quiet during your massage, I had just recently done a Groupon, and, you know, people can leave feedback after they turn in their Groupon massage. And someone wrote in and said, Kathy was very nice, but I really prefer to stay quiet during my massage. I know who wrote that. She talked the entire time. No, I mean, she did, because it was literally the day after I saw this gal. We had a great time. We talked. We laughed. But she kept the conversation going. and then wrote on my review she wanted to stay quiet. And it's like, well, but I didn't do it. You know, I was actually a little upset by that, because it's like, but you're the one that kept talking. You know, so if there's something you prefer, please tell us. We're there for you. If the music sucks, if the table's too warm, if the lighting's too, let us know. But anyway, I get the person on the table, and if they want to talk, we talk. If they don't want to talk, apparently we still talk. And, you know, I base the massage on what they need. I do deep tissue trigger point. I don't do fluffy, foo-foo, smear lotion on you kind of stuff. I do really medical, let's get to the root cause of the problem and get rid of it. I also do a lot of work with mind-body medicine. I was so privileged to study twice last year at Harvard in their mind-body medicine program. Mm-hmm. And massage is also a great way to get into that, because no one walks into my office and says, hey, can you tell me the emotional components of my pain? No one would even think to say that or look for that. But once I get them on the table, I can kind of gauge their how they would react to that. We can start going deeper and talking about, well, you know, you're having these carpal tunnel kind of things. Do you feel like your hands are full? Do you feel like you can't get a grip? Or they're having neck issues. And I say, well, who's the pain in your neck? Everyone always knows the answer to that question, too, by the way. It's very funny. So we can look at other things that might be causing their pain. And I listen to their language. Oh, it's always like this. Or every spring I get allergies. Or every winter I get sick. Or every March I get depressed because that's when my son died. Or every, you know, I listen to their language. And I see if maybe by changing their words and their thoughts, we can help change their body. And I do a lot of speaking on that subject as well in the talks that I give. But it's fascinating. And once they're there, you know, hopefully they walk out with more range of motion, feeling better, and drinking all their water that day.
Wow. We're going to take a break real quick, Kathy, and we'll be back after commercial break.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Chicane.
Back with Dr. Kathy Groover. She's going to talk about, again, alternative medicine from her book, Alternative Medicine Cabinet. You mentioned before we took the break real quick regarding deep tissue, mind and body. Can you talk about what is deep tissue massaging?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a huge misconception about what that is. The main modality that most massage therapists, and this kind of depends on what state you're in because there's different regulations in each state, the basic mm-hmm. The basic practice that we all learn right off is called Swedish. It's really light massage. It's really the only time I do it is to get the lotion on. It's those long, soothing strokes, pinching and tapping and these long, soothing strokes. That's pretty much what Swedish is. And you use nothing but your hands. When you move into deep tissue, you're working on the deeper layers of muscle. So you're actually kind of moving the top one out of the way or pushing through the top one to get to the deeper layers. That's, to me, when you're actually helping to affect change in the body. And the downside that I'm seeing is there's so many massage therapists, they do their basic training, they learn Swedish, they go someplace and they're told, hey, I'd like a deep tissue, and they just push harder. They just do hard Swedish. That's not what deep tissue is. Deep tissue is you really need to know the muscles. You need to know the points on the body. It's a different type of education to move into that type of work. And I caution mm-hmm. any massage therapists that are listening, please make sure you know what you're doing. I've been injured twice from people doing deep tissue incorrectly. I work on these court cases where therapists are doing things they're not really trained in. Or, I mean, sometimes just things go awry. I mean, accidents happen. I totally get that. But
so what type of things happen?
I had one case, a woman ended up with bruising so bad on her behind from someone doing, I mean, you shouldn't be bruising people. You shouldn't come home bruised. I think in my 22 years of doing this, I've maybe bruised two people because they were either really sensitive to it. I work on elderly people and I don't bruise them, and I do pretty deep work. You shouldn't walk away with bruises. And, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being nothing and 10 you wanting to jump off the table and kill them, you don't want to. You don't want to let it get past like a 6 or a 7. If you can keep your body relaxed, it's fine. If you're tensing up and you're holding your breath, it's too much and you need to tell them. And the therapist should be able to detect that. But no, I just worked on a case where someone got burned with hot stone massages. Hot stone massage. She got burned by the stone. You know, doing things that they shouldn't be doing on that person. And in every single case, these were clients who they weren't regular clients. They had gone to either a spa or one of those neighborhood places, and they got a therapist that didn't know them. Either they didn't look at the intake form, or they didn't read it, or the client didn't tell them an injury they already had. There was some miscommunication there where someone got hurt, and I hate to see that because massage is such a great thing, and I want people to get them, but in a safe, smart way.
Absolutely. Amy Skotroff earlier regarding the deep tissue. When you do the deep tissue, is more with your hands and you're kind of massaging this particular area. What's the technique of a deep tissue?
Deep tissue, anytime you use anything other than your hand. So if you're using a knuckle, an elbow, a forearm, that's what I use. I'm an elbow girl. I don't use thumbs. I rarely use thumbs. People are going to burn them out. I do about 28 massages a week. So I use a lot of elbows, a lot of body weight. I do a lot of holding of points. So if I find a spot that I recognize from the way it feels as being tight or a trigger point, which is slightly different than deep tissue, I'll hold it. Not for a huge amount of time, but I'll give it a chance to release, and then I'll go back to some longer deep strokes. It just varies from what body part I'm on and what person I'm working with. If I'm working on a calf, I might hold two thumbs on top of each other in that spot to help disperse that area of tension. But I think every person should get a different massage, depending on the depth and what their problems are. A lot of therapists learn a routine because they do. They're in a spa where that's the environment. You do your routine and they leave and you're done. I really try to cater the massage to what the person needs at the time.
Okay. So what type of training they should be looking or credentials people need to be looking at when they look at a massage therapist?
Oh, and that's so hard. That varies by state. There is no national licensing. There's national certification, and some states require that and some don't. Frankly, in my opinion, and this is totally my opinion, to me it's pointless because it's you taking a multiple choice test. That means you can take a test. That doesn't mean you can do a good massage. You want to make sure they're trained. You want to make sure they're insured. There are a couple organizations. The one I'm with is something called ABMP, Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals. If you go to their website, they actually, and it's ABMP.org, and they have a massage finder on there. So anybody that you search for on there you know is licensed and has been at least vetted with their training with this organization. There's a couple of those. And you want to talk to people. You know, I've had massages from people who have, 1,000-plus classroom hours, and they're terrible. And I've had massages from somebody that's never studied, and they're brilliant at it. You know, it's kind of like acting. You either have the feel for it or you don't. You can study till you're blue in the face and still be bad at it. So you want to go to a reputable place. This is going to sound terrible. There's a couple places here in town where no one speaks English. They're from another country, which is totally fine. But the downside of that is you can't communicate with them. So I went there the other day because I just desperately wanted a 15-minute little, please fix my shoulders. And because I couldn't communicate with them, he was pushing on a spot that was incredibly painful in a bad way. He was hitting my spine or something. And I couldn't communicate that didn't feel good because he didn't speak English. So you want to be really picky about where you go. And I've learned, I can't go to those places anymore. I can't risk hurting myself because I want to spend $20 and not $60, make sure they're trained somehow. And if you don't like it, go to somebody else. There are so many massage therapists out there who do so many different types of work, and you just have to experiment with that sometimes. And ask friends. Ask for referrals from people.
Well, is there a universal term like ouch or something that that you can use for them to understand.
No, that's true. I probably could have screamed stop or something like that. But the other thing is, you're in this giant room where multiple people are laid out on tables, and
didn't
want to make a scene by standing up and yelling stop or I'll kill you. So you know, I mean, had I been more aggressive, I probably could have communicated it. But especially for someone that's, and I'm pretty vocal, I don't mince words. But for somebody that is a little more shy, I mean, I have people. I mean, like I said, I had this woman who wouldn't stop talking and then kind of blamed it on me. So people are not apt to express what they need, especially in those situations. So if you're in an environment where you're in a room with other people listening, and people are, they're gonna suffer through it, and they're gonna end up hurt. And I have to wonder if this is where some of these court cases are coming from. Is they knew it didn't feel good, but they didn't know how to say, "Wow, you know, that doesn't feel good."
Yeah.
So
ouch.
Learn to find your voice. Yeah. Ouch. Oh, the universal ouch. That's great. Oh, that's lovely.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. So, talking about different cultures, I think you mentioned at the top of the hour. I know you mentioned the Swedish technique, and I know there's an Indian technique, and there probably an Asian technique.
Mm-hmm.
What's the different variations between these three different techniques that we see here in the States?
Yeah, you know, it's not even, I don't think from Sweden, actually. I don't remember where it came from. Swedish is your basic stroke. The most common ones is Swedish and deep tissue. That's mainly what you're going to get. There's a Thai massage, which is done on the mat, mats on the floor, and you're fully dressed. There's a lot of stretching. People joke that it's lazy man's yoga because they're actually putting you through all these stretches and these positions. There's something called shiatsu, which is Japanese, which, again, you're on the floor fully dressed, and it's a lot of – it's on the acupuncture meridians, but it's a lot of static pressure on those points, so it's not the smooth gliding thing that you get on a table massage. There's lomi-lomi, which is Hawaiian massage. So much of it. I actually have a whole section in my book on what all those things are, because you show up to a spa and there's this huge menu of choices, and you're like, what is shiatsu and what is deep tissue? And, you know, so it's good to know what those are so that you can get what you want. If you're really a stiff person and you might have injuries or joint problems, you don't want to be getting a Thai massage because they're going to stretch you all over Kingdom Come. you know, if you want to be on the table and relaxed and feel slimy and be, you know, have that sort of pampery thing, you probably don't want shiatsu because they're going to be stepping on you, you know, on the floor. So it's important to know what these techniques are, and that's why, I mean, so many people were always saying, what's shiatsu? It's shiatsu. And so I'd explain it. So that was actually the very first article I wrote, and that's the very first chapter in my book, is what all these different techniques are. What is hot stone massage? Is it dangerous? I'm going to go with yes. I've heard of numerous things that have happened with hot stone massage. I'm not a fan. I don't think it has therapeutic value. Again, just my opinion. And it can be dangerous. I'd pass on the stone massage, personally.
Well, I mean, I totally understand. I remember going to many, many years ago to with my wife before we got married, the day before, to get her to relax because she was panicking over the reception hall and all of that the day before. So I said, "Can you take your future wife and take her out of here because she's getting on everybody's nerves." So I took her and said, "Okay, what can we do?" Took her to get a massage. Took her to get her feet done to kill time before the dinner. So I remember going to to get a pedicure. First time I got a pedicure, and the first thing they came out was those hot stones. I said, "Oh my gosh, those are hot." And I had to tell her, "Oh my gosh, this is too hot.
Yep.
I need to take that off. Give me something else." But just in a neighborhood spa, she's probably used to it.
Right.
I wasn't used to it for the first time, and this. A lot of people go to these things for the first time, and they're not aware of what to expect.
Right.
I told her, I said, "Hey, ouch, the stones are hot." And she did remove them and just wrapped them up. And, it, you know, it's just one of those things. I wasn't aware. I wasn't really anticipating. But those things you actually run into. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and if you don't know what to expect, then you don't know what to ask for. Or, I mean, that's one of the problems. If it's your first deep tissue and the person pounds the crap out of you and you're sick for days and you're bruised, you think that's what deep tissue is supposed to be. I've had so many people come to my office, especially with this Groupon I did, and I finish the massage and they go, "That's deep tissue. Oh, because they've had either deep tissue that is so not deep, and I go deep. I mean, I've had people say, push as hard as you can, and I'm like, oh, no, you do not want me to do that. Because my 3 is everybody else's 7, you know. So it's like you have to kind of figure it out. You have to see what you like, and if something feels wrong to you, get to know your body well enough to know that's too hot, that's too hard, that's too deep, that's my spine, why are you giving your finger in my ear, and tell them, ouch, cracks me up, or stop, or I don't like that. I mean, I had a guy put his slimy fingers in my ears and kind of squish them around, so all I heard was, and I was like, oh, my God, that's just disgusting. And so now if I go for a massage, I say, here's what I don't like. Please do not push on this. Please do not pull that. You cannot put your my shoulder up over my head, and don't put your fingers in my ears. And they're like, okay. Because very
okay.
few people do that. But I don't like it. So it's like, I'm going to tell you. This is what I like. This is what I don't like.
Absolutely. You talked about mind and body, and I guess mentally at part of that process, you got to detox the mind to get into the massage. Can you talk about that experience of actually when you're talking about not really detoxing the mind, but you mentioned something about the mind, that you have to set the atmosphere before you do the massage, get them to relax.
Yeah, well, it's not even so much that. It's just in general. I mean, they estimate that we have about 60,000 thoughts a day, and that they're saying 50,000 of those are negative. That's incredible. That's 80% of our thoughts are negative. And it's either self-defeating of, I can't do that, I'm stupid, this isn't going to work, why am I even trying, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too ugly, I mean, these are the thoughts we have all day. And if someone followed us around and said these things, hopefully we'd kill them in a matter of seconds. So, but why are we doing this to ourselves? Our mind doesn't know the difference between what we're fantasizing about and what is actually happening to us. So if we're, you know, thinking about that meeting with the boss tomorrow and we've built it up in our head that we're going to get in trouble, that we're going to get fired, that he's mad, that it's this negative thing, or you're thinking about your first date with someone and you're freaking yourself out because, oh, why would they like me? They're not going to like me. I'm stupid. And what if I drop food on my face? And what, you know, we're actually putting ourselves into this huge stress response, which raises our blood pressure, speeds our heart rate, speeds our respiratory rate, slows the immune system, speeds up the effects of aging. And if we can calm those thoughts down, if we can change our mind, and my dissertation was actually on mind-body medicine, and these things like meditation, visualization, hypnosis, positive thoughts, affirmations, the reinforcement of those good things, we can actually affect our physiology. We can speed our immune system. They've watched wounds heal quicker in people that talk to the wound in a positive way as opposed to ones that are negative about it. So people who say things like, oh, I'm getting sick, I can tell I'm getting sick, I hope I'm not getting sick, I'm not getting sick, I'm not getting sick, people who approach it that way tend to get sick, whereas people who are positive and using affirmations such as, I am healthy and well, my immune system is strong, I am healthy and well, my immune system is strong, they tend not to get sick. I rarely get sick. When I do get sick, it's once every couple of years, and it's after a huge emotional thing. It's not after I've been exposed to a germ. It's when the environment in my body is compromised to a point where my immune system goes, oh, forget this. We're letting you get sick. 98% of the time, my immune system is strong because I'm positive. I don't fear germs. I don't fear, oh, don't get near me. You're going to get me sick. I don't think that way. And I truly believe that has a huge effect on the immune system, and researchers do too. I mean, there's tons of studies that show this. Stress damages our immune system. And cancer is basically an oops in the immune system. So if we stay in a more stressful state, we have a greater chance of getting sick, a greater chance of things developing in cancer, a greater chance of things developing into heart disease. Stress is the number one killer. It really is. 70 to 80% of doctor's visits, they're blaming on stress.
Wow. We have a question right here regarding acupuncture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does that play a part of, I'm not sure is in your practice, but kind of explain what is that particular process.
Yeah, acupuncture has been around for thousands of years. It's a beautiful modality. I don't do it. I mean, I've had it done to me. I don't practice acupuncture. I'm not licensed to do that.
Okay.
It resonates with me as a healing modality. It didn't as a practitioner because I looked into doing that and it didn't zing me. What I found acupuncture to be really great for is things like allergies, headaches, fertility, menstrual issues, depression, that sort of thing. If somebody comes to me, and I'm a huge referrer, I have a whole table full of business cards in my office because I can't do everything. I don't want to do everything. I want experts to do what they do. If someone comes to me and says, my shoulder hurts, should I do acupuncture? the first thing I'm going to suggest is, well, why don't you try massage or chiropractic first? If someone comes to me and says, I'm having really bad allergies, should I get a massage? I'm probably going to send them to an acupuncturist. So pick your modality as to what is going to work best for that ailment. And then sometimes, again, it comes down to you might have to pick a different practitioner. I have a couple different acupuncturists that I refer to, the main one who does a lot of stuff. But I actually have an orthopedic acupuncturist that I refer to. And she has really helped some of my clients with the deeper healing of the physical that I wasn't able to get to with just the massage. So it, you know, it comes down to, again, it's sort of an experiment. And this is where people get frustrated with natural health. They want to go to the one person, get the one pill, and have the one cure. Well, it doesn't work. It's really individualized for, you know, we're biologically individual, and we have to remember that. So acupuncture is phenomenal, but get the right practitioner.
Okay. We got three more questions right here. What's the difference between, what is yoga by definition?
Ooh, what is yoga by definition? Oh, boy, I don't know that I know an actual official definition of yoga. Google it. No, I'm kidding. we can find anything on Wikipedia, can't we? You know, I don't know that I know the official definition. I mean, it's a series of movements and poses that bring about mental clarity, physical balance. I mean, that's probably what I'd go with. Yoga's beautiful.
Okay.
Yoga's too slow for me. I'm a little too type A for yoga. I do hip hop. It's much more, a little more aggressive. But there's so many different styles of yoga. There's, you know, pregnancy yoga, and there's Bikram's yoga, and yoga is one of those things where I don't know tons about it. From my TV show, I'm actually having someone come talk about yoga because I could, you know, read off a piece of paper, but not my area, not my expertise.
Okay. What about the chiropractor that you mentioned earlier?
I love my chiropractor. I have three chiropractors I use because they do different things. They keep me standing upright. I'd be probably calling you from, you know, a hospital bed in traction right now if I did not see my chiropractor. Chiropractor is great for maintenance. Again, pick the right one. If they want you to sign up for some $10,000 program where they see you every day for the rest of your life, be very leery of that. Unfortunately, there are chiropractors who are just out to make boat payments. They might want you to get better, but they're doing it in such a way that it's incredibly expensive. And I know people that have spent tens of thousands of dollars on programs that chiropractors sign them up for. If the ones that I know, if they need you to come back, they will say that. They'll say, look, you know, for 3 weeks, let's do three times a week, and then let's taper off. Here's the telling part. No matter how often you're going, are you feeling better? Is it getting better? If they have you once a week, if they have you five times a week, if you're not seeing progress, rethink what you're doing. And it might take a second. You know, I was hit by a car 2 years ago. Literally, the ambulance came. They said, do you want to go to the hospital? I said, no, but can you drive me to my chiropractor? They didn't think that was funny. I literally, about within an hour after being hit by the car, I was in my chiropractor's office, and I had to go three or four times a week for a good 2 or 3 months before I could even turn my head. It was a process, and it was painful, and there were tears from probably me and him. And, you know, I had to be patient in that process. My body had been traumatized. Now, on a regular basis, I wake up, oh, my rib is out. I call one of them. I get my rib put back in. I'm fine for another month. So you really have to gauge your own body, and that's, again, where it's so important to know yourself. If you know what you feel like healthy, then you can know what you feel like not healthy. You know, we take better care of our cars than we do our bodies. We know what that clunking sound means when we go uphill at a 45-degree angle in the rain on a Tuesday. We can explain that to the car dealership. We don't know if our elbow feels right or not. So it's so important to get to know yourself.
Okay. Let's take maybe a 12-second break real quick, and we'll be back, and we want to talk about what's in your medicine cabinet and some tips I think you can give the people about things they really need to keep in their household on a regular basis. Take a breath. We'll be back in 12 seconds.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
Okay, we're back with Kathy Groove. Kathy, what's in your medicine cabinet? What a person really needs to keep on a regular basis in their household for natural medicine?
Oh, boy, I could do a whole hour on that. I love homeopathics. I'm a big fan of those. And there's a couple I keep around. One is called Arnica. You can't do Arnica orally as a plant because it's poisonous, but you can do it orally as a homeopathic. And I keep that around for if you fall down, if you bruise yourself, if it's post-surgery. Arnica is fabulous for that type of healing. There's also another one called Nux Vomica, which is really great for overindulgences of any kind. So if you've eaten too much, if you drank too much, if you have a kid that gets so hyper they start to make themselves sick, Nux Vomica is phenomenal for that. It's also great for food poisoning, which I have had a couple times. So those are two things I travel with now, especially the Nux Vomica after a very unfortunate buffet incident in Las Vegas during a conference. I now travel with Nux Vomica. I keep a gigantic bottle of magnesium around. Magnesium is my favorite mineral because I'm nerdy enough to have a favorite mineral. Magnesium is really great for headaches, menstrual cramps, muscle cramps, sleep, mood. We need to be getting magnesium, and we don't get enough of it, I don't believe, in this society. So I keep magnesium around. We should all be taking a multivitamin and a multimineral. That is so key to our health. Even Harvard went on record as saying the best health insurance policy we can have in this country is to take a multivitamin. Please, everybody, we're not getting enough through our food. Even if you think you're eating well, you're not getting enough through your food. Take a good supplement, a good one. Not the one from your big box store where you're getting, you know, a 400-day supply for $2.99. That's not probably a good quality. So the highest quality vitamin you can get, if it's made from whole food and whole plant material, that's best. But just take something. We need to have that in our bodies. That's kind of the basics of what I keep around. Yeah.
Okay. And if you look at natural medicine itself, we have a question right quick. Give me 1 second. Let me scroll back up. If you're going to actually grow some plants in your backyard, what you should grow and should be part of your diet on a regular basis?
Oh, boy. That's a really complicated question. I mean, again, I could do a whole hour on that. I don't know that I have an easy answer for that. It depends on what you like. I mean, I have veggies growing. We've got herbs because putting fresh herbs on things. What I grow is more for an eating thing than a health thing. I don't have a lot of medicinal plants. Some of those are really hard to get. And I used to make my own tinctures. I would buy dried herbs and make my own tinctures, and I'd have all these plants hanging in my kitchen. It looked like some little hovel from, you know, Harry Potter or something. I don't have a good answer. Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. Depends on what you like.
No problem. Okay, I have another question here. Herbs are usually extreme, at least as, I guess they see them as a prescription drug. So they kind of really need to be cautious on what type of herb they can use, because they can be a little bit more potent than the regular prescription drugs and have side effects. So if they look at where should they need to go if they actually grow herb for one particular thing that you mentioned, where they should go to do the research and make sure they don't take too much of that herb?
Right. You know, I used to be a huge herb person. That's what I would turn to. Like I said, I made my own tinctures and things. I've actually gotten away from using herbs because I completely agree with whoever wrote in on that. That, to me, is the last stage, because it is. It's got compounds in it that are similar to prescription drugs. And depending on the herb, I don't know that it's stronger than a prescription drug. I mean, you can take as, you know, tons of anything and make it strong. Some herbs are not safe, and they do interact with things. You know, St. John's wort is one of the most popular herbs for depression, and anybody know it interacts with the birth control pill and can make the birth control pill not work? Anyone know that? Right.
Wow.
No one tells you that when you go into your health food store. So you might not be depressed anymore, but suddenly you find yourself with an unwanted pregnancy. Oops. And then you're depressed again. So, you know, you do want to be careful. If you're going to mess with herbs other than something like, I'm going to take valerian to sleep, okay, that's probably safe. You know, talk to an herbalist. Make sure you do your research and don't just grab something off the shelf and start taking high quantities of it. You can mess yourself up, and it could interact with things. It's a complicated process. So, frankly, I've almost stayed away from herbs recently. That, to me, is the last stage, either a prescription or herbs, that sort of thing.
Okay. Let's talk about your book real quick. Where can we find it? Where is it available? Is it by a publisher, or did you self-publish it?
I actually self-published it because I'm a total control freak, and I didn't want to wait 16 months for it to come out with a cover that I didn't like, with a photo that wasn't me, with you know, the phrasing that wasn't the way I wanted to do it. I put my cat in the book because he had died right as I was publishing, and he spent most of me writing the book on my lap. So, you know, it's going to tribute to the cat. What publisher is going to let me do that? It's available. It's on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and all those things. It's on my website, which is thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, and my massage DVD is there. there is also there if you want to learn to do massage at home safely mm-hmm. and effectively. And you can sign up for my newsletter. I have a monthly newsletter. There's going to be a page up soon about my TV show and where you can see that, because I'm doing – it's funny that you asked about the different massages. I'm doing different segments of the show on what those massage techniques are and what they look like. So I'll actually be demonstrating a lot of those on TV. And what else is there? Oh, free resources, links to radio shows, and good sources of product and things that I found. So, yeah, it's a pretty all-encompassing site, and it's thealternativemedicinecabinet.com.
Okay, so how do you manage, let's go step back a second with your book, when you decided to publish your own book. Did you look around for different publishers, and how did you go about that process?
I did. You know, I didn't even really, the book just, one day I thought I really need to do a book. And I started working on one that was completely different than what I turned out. And I realized I had all these phenomenal articles and these phenomenal projects from when I was in school. The book was mm-hmm. written. You know, I gathered all that stuff together because it was such vast and different knowledge. I put all that together, and that's how I actually put this book together. My husband's a writer, and we had been on a cruise for one of his continuing ed sort of things, and there was a publisher there talking about their self-published books, and it was print on demand so that you didn't need to have, you know, 5,000 of them in your garage. And we talked mm-hmm. to these people, and he published his first book with them, and I really liked the quality and how they did it. The price seemed reasonable to me. I compared a couple things. It's Infinity Publishing, and that's who I'm now working on my second book as well. Once the TV show's done, I'll finish that off. And I'm going to go with Infinity again because I really liked what they did.
Wow. And so then you print so many books, and then from there you just go ahead, you approach the Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And how was that process? Really simple? Or?
Well, and Infinity actually does that for you. They put it on all online sites. Now, if I went in local bookstores, then that's the legwork, and that was a challenge. That was, you know, I remember that quiz in school where, you know, they try to determine what you wanted to do for your living, and it was, do you want to read a book, write a book, or sell a book? I always mm-hmm. remember staring at that question and going, I want to do all three. No, I've decided I don't want to sell the book. I want to read the book, and I want to write the book. I do not want to sell the book. It was such a challenge. And for anybody that wants to write a book, honestly, the writing part's easy. It's the selling it. It's the constant promotion. I mean, both my husband and I, and he wrote four national travel books, so he actually has a big publisher behind him. With a, you know, PR people and all this stuff, and he's still pushing his books like crazy. We're tweeting and LinkedIning and Facebooking, and, you know, we're on all those things, constantly talking about books, because I want to share the knowledge. You know, I didn't write the book so they could sit in my closet. I wrote it so that people could educate themselves and regain control of their lives and their health, and that's why I do all of this.
Okay, and you have a practice right there in is it Santa Barbara?
I'm in Santa Barbara, yeah, and I do health consulting and stuff over online or, you know, via phone also, because I do more than just massage.
And the business is in your name. Is it called?
It's Healing Circle Massage.
Okay.
So my website for that is healingcirclemassage.com.
Perfect. And the last thing real quick, talk about the upcoming TV show you have coming on Lifetime. How did that happen?
Oh, wow. That was – well, and actually, this show I did on Lifetime, that was 2 years ago. My regular show isn't going to be running on that. It's a network called Oasis. It's based out of Los Angeles. It's all body, mind, spirit programming. And it's so – I'm so thrilled. It was a friend of mine named Howie introduced me to one of his friends at this network. And after a year of meetings, literally, by the time we shoot, it'll have been a year since our first meeting, we're going to do 50 segments. And they're going to be airing on TV as well as online, downloadable content, pay-per-view content. It's all of it. And I'm so excited to be able to share all of this with people because, I mean, TV is still the medium. You know, it's like I can stand in front of 100 people and do a lecture, which I'm going to do later today, or I can reach however many I'm reaching on your show and other radio shows I do. But TV still is the one where people go, wow, that's huge, and you're doing it. And I'm so thrilled. So, yeah, it's called The Alternative Medicine Cabinet. It's based on my book. So it's going to cover everything about natural health. And we have an option to do 200 episodes total. So there could be a lot of me out there. So keep your eyes open.
Wow. Wish you the very best on that.
Thanks.
Any last words you'd like to leave us with?
Well, it's funny. You asked if there was a passage from my book, and mm-hmm. I did find something. This ends my book. I want to be the roadmap to the path to better health, to instill confidence in people of all ages that change is possible, and through change comes growth, enlightenment, and independence. We all have it. We all can do it. Let's let it shine through.
Fair enough. I really appreciate you coming on the program and talking about your book and your career. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Tim, for having me. Everyone have a fabulous day.
Same here. Take care.
Thank you, too.
Take care. Again, you've listened to the Core Business Show. Tim Jacquet, your host, and you can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. We will have an outline of this particular show available on blog.applecapitalgroup. We do ask you, if you do go to iTunes, please write a review. Or if you get it from Pod Pickle and those other Stitchers and so forth, just write a review in that and say, you know, give us a thumbs up if you like the show. Give us some type of comment so we know if we are moving in the right direction. Hey, everybody, thank you for supporting the program, and everybody have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.